A privilege to share with you part two of how to know if your wisdom is godly. So a very similar title to pastors, and it goes right with it. I want to start off with a personal story. When I was in my 20s, many, many years ago, I was a part of a church, so-called, that had some serious problems. One specific problem is that we were very extremely sectarian and very isolated from other Christians. Our group really believed that we were the elite, the people that had it together and had the truth, super Christians. We had a whole lot of Bible knowledge. Well, what we had was Bible knowledge that a lot of people don't have, because most people today, unfortunately, don't have much Bible knowledge. So a little bit makes you an expert, you think. I thought. Very loyal to a single leader. Frankly, I was in a cult, something very cult-like. I think it was truly Christian at its root, at its start, but I don't think it changed into something even worse. I was young. I was zealous. I would gladly engage with anybody that would listen. In fact, people that didn't want to. And I wanted to share all this superior wisdom and so-called gospel knowledge and Bible knowledge. Sadly, because many Christians had a weak understanding of the Scripture, the little bit of knowledge that I thought I had convinced me that I was a true expert and almost a prophet. And I say that with a tear in my eye and my heart, because I was deceived. One of the key passages in the Scripture that the Lord used to set me free from that deception was this one. I love this passage of Scripture because it created liberation for me. James 3:17-18. These verses exposed my hypocrisy and my pride. In fact, I found it interesting. I did a lot of Bible reading back then, that I avoided James and I avoided this passage. I didn't want to read it. The so-called wisdom and advice that I was freely pushing on other people failed this test miserably. And tonight, my prayer has been for you all is that the Holy Spirit will take this brief meditation in these verses to help put your counseling and your advice to others from the Scripture and your plain conversation with other people to this test. How can we know if our wisdom is and our speech is godly, our conversations? How can we know? We're bombarded, like Pastor shared and Jack shared, with just a worldly view. And here's James with this wonderful wisdom book. It's a practical instruction to believers called the Proverbs of the New Testament. It emphasizes on how to live a godly life, not just profess it. And we've seen so far that we all have a deep problem as sinners. Though we may be redeemed, we have a tongue that no man can tame. We have a deep need for repentance and change ongoing. And we've also seen that a mere profession of faith in God is empty if it does not bear fruit. Especially evident is when we look at our words and we look at our speech and we listen carefully to what we say. Jesus said that shows our heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Brothers and sisters, the Proverbs would say that our words have power to edify and to heal and to bring nurture and comfort and joy and even salvation if we speak the gospel. But our words also have the power to destroy and harm others. In fact, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And what does he use? He uses words. Given this challenge of this unruly tongue, we need a mirror. We need a place to go to test our words. And God has not left us lacking. He's given us that in the book of James. So I want to go there tonight, and I want to check out our words together. The encouragement from this passage is that we can communicate life and healing and edification to other people. We are not bound to continue in our fleshly, unsaved, unregenerate ways. We can be sanctified and changed, and God can use our mouth to be a source of blessing and of sweet water, not bitter water, to others. God in His grace can help us in our need to sow peaceful seeds that will yield this harvest of righteousness James talks about. So if you're ready, let's put on some new words. Let's put our hearts to the test. Let me read the passage. But the wisdom, James chapter 3, verse 17. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The first thing I want you to understand here to help us with this analysis of our words and is that we have to understand there are two things here that James is talking about. And I love what Jack said about contrast, but I want to give you a contrast. There is context and there is content. Context and content. The fact is, God wants our content to be biblical and pure. He wants us to be speaking the truth. But brothers and sisters, in a very awkward way, I was terrible, improper way, I was speaking the truth in my 20s. I was actually reading Bible verses and probably partly inspired by the devil. You know, Satan quoted Scripture. Just because we have the Scripture and we have correct doctrine in this church doesn't mean we have godly wisdom. In fact, we can do great damage with our mouth using this book. The devil uses it to tear people apart. The law comes to condemn. The law, apart from grace, destroys. And we have this huge power right here in our laps and in our midst and in our church that can either heal or it can destroy. Content, context. I have this business coach, not a Christian lady, but she talked about this glass to me when I was asking about some trouble I was having with my coaching. And she said, well, Dave Beam, let me talk about this glass. You go to this restaurant and you get this nice expensive drink. Well, she didn't know that I really don't buy those nice expensive drinks, but the analogy works. I didn't stop her. 20 years ago, I would have given her a sermon on alcohol. But anyway, you go to get this fine wine. It's your anniversary, and you're dearly beloved. You want to buy her something very nice. And the waiter brings this glass out with this expensive wine, and it's got lipstick and goop and little chunks on it. What are you going to do? Send it back. Send it back, waiter. I'm spending $30, $40 for this glass of stuff in this glass. So the waiter, not paying attention, goes back to the kitchen, takes the glass, dumps the expensive wine down the drain, takes the expensive bottle of wine, pours the glass full again with that expensive and that same goopy glass and brings it back. He missed it. But here's what this coach wanted me to know. Dave Beam, your coaching content is just fine. Brothers and sisters, our content is beautiful. It's wonderful. There's nothing wrong with our doctrine in this church. Now, you get picky. I'm sure we have some errors and things because we're not complete. But we have the gospel. We have the truth. It wasn't the wine. It was the context. It was the glass. Brothers and sisters, guess who the glass is that carries the gospel? It's us. And guess who we are apart from the grace and the mercy of God? Goopy. Dirty, nasty. And we can take this beautiful truth and terribly contaminate it and cause great damage and hurt. We need a mirror. So how do we know if what we're communicating is godly wisdom, pure wisdom, good things? Well, let's go through the list and the definitions very quickly here. First of all, it's pure. That means free of defilement and purity. These preachers that get up and make little off-color jokes, and they have this little sly eye, and they have this little lust and this uncleanness in their speech, James would say that's demonic. Oh, it's just a little joke here. It's just a little comment there. You sense an uncleanness. The wisdom from above is first of all pure. Is your wisdom pure? It's not going to be laced with worldly uncleanness. It's going to be pure of defilement and impurity. Godly wisdom is not brash, it's not common, it's not riddled with worldly uncleanness or moral impurity. Second, it's peace-loving. The word peace is a beautiful word. It has the sense of health and wholesomeness and peacefulness and being disposed to peace. It's the peace we have in Christ. It's that wonderful reconciliation we have with God where we're no longer His enemy. He's our peace. He's a reconciling God. The question is, are the conversations you have with people Does it bring forth a peace or a hostility? Back in my 20s, it was always hostile. Third, is your speech considerate? The wisdom from above is considerate. The word means fair, equitable, fitting, appropriate, suitable, proper, lenient, yielding, unassertive. Is your communication with others characterized by a listening feel, by an understanding, by a fairness, of a desire to work with versus against somebody? That's peace talk. Oh, Dave, you're going soft now. This is in the Bible, brothers and sisters. This was given to believers to test their speech. Is it submissive? This gets harder. This gets harder. It denotes an easiness, an easily to be persuaded, compliant. Here's a question. How easy is it for you to be persuaded by other people on their opinions on non-essential things? Would others say you're stubborn when you have conversations with them, or you're easy to be with? This is what James is saying. There's two kinds of wisdom. There's an earthly wisdom that's stubborn, proud, doesn't listen, is brash and harsh and worldly, and then there's this peaceful, considerate, submissive, full of mercy. Full of mercy. Full of mercy. Mercy, have mercy on me, son of David, the leper cried out. It's considerate compassion that is undeserved. When a person deserves your punishment and your wrath and your hard feelings, what's coming from you? What they deserve? Or instead, are they receiving grace and kindness? Because you know that's what you've received from your Savior, not what you deserve. Brothers, sisters, we don't want justice. We don't want justice from God. Oh, I don't want justice, and God's a just God. Do you give out justice? Are you just trying to be fair, tit for tat, eye for eye, tooth for tooth with other people? Demonic. Our God's a God of mercy. He gives people kindness and love when they don't deserve it. Do you give that to people in your speech? And finally, full of good fruit. Good works. Are your conversations characterized by goodness, and are there actions behind those words to validate those words? Impartial. James talked about this earlier, about rich and poor people that come into a congregation and we make judgments. I like that one. I don't like this one. We start to make distinctions and move this one over here in our minds. And I like this person, but I don't like that person. I prefer this. I don't prefer that. And we pretty soon have set ourselves up as a little judge and jury. God says we're to be indistinguishable, making no partial distinctions, free from partial regards. Are you objective and free of prejudice and judgment when listening to and talking to others? Do you carry a critical, accepting attitude? Critical or accepting attitude? There's that contrast again. Sincere. No hypocrisy. No pretense. No play acting. Genuine. Real. This is a difficult one. Because as people come to us, they need the gospel. They need the truth. They need our love. They need this peaceful speech that sometimes requires us to say things that are very difficult to hear. And if we hold them back and we refuse to speak the truth and we put on the act like they're okay and they're not okay, they're saying things that are not okay and we let them go unchallenged. See, you might think from my earlier thing that the wisdom from above would never challenge a person's position, would never make them uncomfortable. If you love a person deeply like your child, you make them uncomfortable because you love them. But it's coming from a heart where Jesus weeps over Jerusalem. It comes from a heart that breaks when we think about them going to hell. We don't take a relish in it and think of ourselves as, I thank God I'm not like other men, like the self-righteous Pharisee. We fall on our face in tears, and we appeal to people to be reconciled to God and to come to Christ for salvation. So this last piece, the wisdom from above is a fruit of righteousness sown in peace by those who cultivate peace. There's a harvest of righteousness, there's a soil, and there's a sower. What we want is we want God's righteousness. God's righteousness comes to us through Christ. That comes as a result of the gospel. The gospel is the power of God to declare men righteous. And then that righteousness rises up in their lives and is lived. It's sown in an atmosphere of peace. Not, you can't argue people into the kingdom. Quit fighting with people. Quit arguing and debating. Now, if you're in a stage where there are rules and you're debating the truth of God to make that known, that's one thing. But when you're sitting with somebody over here at the lunch counter and you're just going to get your point across, that's demonic. It's where I was in my 20s. I argued with everybody. I was smarter than all of them and knew more and had the proof text to show it. And the devil's laughing. While this person is either condemned or sent into anger away from Christ. There's no reconciliation occurring in all that speech. I thank God for His mercy and His kindness that He was long-suffering with me and He brought me along and He humbled me and He hopefully got that all out of me, but it still shows its ugly head from time to time. That's why we need to come back to be cleansed, to come back to the Scripture to see it. So my final words here of application are this. How do people feel after they have a conversation with you? Do they feel edified and built up, or do they feel torn down and condemned? Realize that you're either producing a godly, righteous result or a devilish, destructive result. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Number two, if you are convicted by this, you need to pray for the Spirit of God to show you what the problem is, the heart problem, and ask Him to help you with your words and your thoughts and your attitudes. And thirdly, if you see you're falling short of the standard, 1 John 1:9 is just applicable here like it is everywhere else. We confess it, we admit it, we admit our weakness, we receive our forgiveness. We seek instruction, maybe from others to understand our words. Maybe we need some feedback from people that love us. And realize this, it's not just what you say. It's not just getting the right words. It's how you say it. Thank you.